Panacea. I'm Travis Saunders. On today's podcast, we have a conversation that I had recently with Dr. Diane Feingood. She's a professor at Simon Fraser University in Vancouver, and she's also involved with a series of workshops aimed at building trust between obesity researchers and members of industry, which, as you can imagine, can be a fairly controversial topic. So we had this talk at the recent Canadian Obesity Summit in Montreal earlier this year, and it was a very interesting conversation. So here it is. I hope that you'll enjoy it.
My name is Diane Feingood. I'm a professor at the School of Biomedical Physiology and Kinesiology at Simon Fraser University.
All right, so we're talking about building trust and industry partnership. So I guess your building trust workshop yesterday, is it more about sort of leading to private-public partnerships like Mark does, or is it more just working together in general and sort of building that trust that the two sides don't hate each other?
I guess I think the best way to describe it is that there's different kinds of trust, and trust comes in a variety of forms. There's basic trust, you know, the trust that my talking to you, you're not going to do something nasty to me on your podcast or something like that. If you did something nasty to me and I didn't want to notice that, then it would be blind trust. If I wanted to deceive myself into thinking that I could talk to you again and you wouldn't hurt me in some way, I'd call that blind trust, and that's not very helpful either.
Right.
But then there's authentic trust. Authentic trust is kind of eyes wide open trust, where you recognize that you might actually be disappointed in the relationship you're building with somebody, or that there might be some betrayal that actually occurs, but you still go into it because you feel that it's important to move your agenda forward. And the last thing is called cordial hypocrisy. And that's what you see a lot of, actually, in this business, where people, you know, they're nice to each other on the surface, but underneath they really don't believe in building a relationship and they think it's a bad idea.
Right.
So I think what we need to do is we need to strive for authentic trust in this area, eyes wide open trust, because the problem of obesity and many other problems are problems that are very complex.
Okay.
And complexity, there's a whole bunch of things around complexity, but fundamentally, if we live in a society with low trust, it's even more complex.
Yep.
But if our society is high trust, it decreases the complexity of operating in that environment. So because I'm compelled by the complexity of the problem, I think trust is actually critical. It's a critical system variable, if you will.
Okay.
And we need to try to build it. And build it, you know, carefully and slowly. So the workshop we had yesterday was the first time we had an open public opportunity to talk about the work that we've been doing. All the previous exercises or workshops we've done have been closed and invited participants. So it was just an opportunity to introduce the idea to people and then to get them to experience get a little bit of a deeper understanding about how other people think about the same problem. So we took one problem, kind of the food messaging environment and the complexity of it, and we had people sitting in groups by sector. So the private sector sat at one table, academics at another, government at another, health professionals and NGOs, and we asked them to talk about their deepest held beliefs, the paradigm under which they think about the issue of food messaging.
Yeah.
And then they just grouped the results together and did a report back. And it was fascinating to hear the differences in people's deeply held beliefs about the way they operate in the food messaging environment.
Do you remember, sort of paraphrase, what's, say, the research people and the marketing or the industry people were?
Well, what one surprise for me was the strength of the statement from the food industry about their belief in evidence and doing things based on evidence. And that was probably contrasted with some of the other participants who perceived that the food industry, you know, would do what they had to do to sell their products. So so it just it enabled the participants to you know, step back and say, well, maybe we have to think a little harder about how each group thinks about this and begin to think, is there a way that we can come together? And the academics actually were interesting because, you know, they want to do stuff based on evidence, you know, and the NGOs sort of felt like, well, maybe evidence isn't necessarily as important. Not to say that it's not important, and I don't want to misrepresent what they said, but that sometimes we blind ourselves to the value of our evidence. We maybe make it out to be more than it really is.
Okay. And so what about, because I know sometimes sometimes you hear messages that, that certain groups value something, and then it seems like the actions suggest that they don't at times, or that the public message suggests that they do, and then the private messages suggest that they don't. So I'm wondering, how do you build trust when some people would feel that the other side is fundamentally untrustable?
Yeah. I think what you have to do is you have to start by building trust with individuals, okay, not with industries or sectors, right?
Okay.
Because not all food companies, not all people who even work in a food company are created equal, mm-hmm, right? So the place to start is by building relationships with individuals,
yep,
where you can begin to exchange your ideas, agree to disagree, understand how the others think, and even understand what the constraints of their sector actually are. What are the drivers in their sector? What are the goals? We would have done, if we'd had enough time, we would have done another round of discussion around the goals of each of the sectors,
yeah,
but time was short, so we didn't do that. So until you start to build trust with individuals, you can't really hope to build trust, and I wouldn't expect you ever to build trust with a whole industry, right?
Okay.
You know, because in fact, and the other thing you need is one of the things we've kind of learned in our exercises, you need some safe spaces where you can have those conversations and you can do those, you can build those relationships, because people in our own sectors, people in our own organizations, the public, sometimes come back to bite us, right?
Right, you don't want to say something and it be misrepresented or taken out of context or just...
And, you know, big food corporations are made up of lots of different people and lots of different departments. And so even if I build trust with a vice president at McDonald's, you know, it doesn't mean that their corporate affairs department isn't going to do something that, you know, sort of interferes with that and makes it challenging.
So what's the end goal of this then?
I guess spreading authentic spreading authentic trust would be a good idea.
And then that will have sort of what impact on obesity rates or on research or policy?
Well, I think there's a lot of different areas that if we collaborated more effectively, we could actually address aspects. So one really good example is, frankly, I think people from the health sector and the academic sector don't have a clue how to do marketing, social marketing. For the most part, you know, they think, I need to tell these people about their problem and about their solution. But, you know, the private sector, really good at marketing.
Right.
And we could learn a lot from
people
in the private sector. And if we built enough trust, we might be able to utilize the skills and expertise in that sector in order to improve the work that we're actually doing in the health sector.
And so this is one question that I always kind of struggle with personally, sort of looking back through the lens of history. If say 50 years ago, health researchers were working with big tobacco or something, not that big food is the equivalent, but looking back through the lens of history, even if it had been to positive changes, it probably still, people might not look favorably on it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a challenge. And, and tobacco is different from food because you don't need tobacco
to live. Yes.
But you need food.
Right.
And so what we really need is our food companies to deliver a healthier food supply in a reasonable, you know, quantity, that sort of thing. But we don't actually want them to go away. We want them to change what they're doing. And we can't talk to them about what we think they should be doing unless we start to build a relationship. So I think that's part of the difference here, and why it would probably be a better strategy dealing with the complexity of this challenge to build trust as opposed to not.
Right. Cool. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Good.
No problem.
So that was my conversation with Dr. Diane Feingood of Simon Fraser University. As always, if you have any thoughts or comments on this podcast, we'd love to hear them. You can find our blog at blogs.plos.org/obesitypanacea, or you can just simply Google Obesity Panacea, and that should bring you to us. You can also find me on Twitter, at Travis Saunders. And remember that if you're not already subscribed to the podcast in iTunes, you can do so. And if you do subscribe to us in iTunes, we would love it if you would give us a rating. So thanks again for listening, and we'll be back soon.